From health and wellness to education,
we need to be thinking about what it takes for students to succeed.
From art and politics to social issues of the day,
we have young Black males who are thriving in their communities and who are being shown as leaders.
The journey is what matters.
I would say to all of us, we can be better than we are.
Let's join Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, president of Howard University, and his guests as they take steps on the journey.
He is recognized as one of the world's leading authorities on African-American art. David Driscoll, for more than six decades, has had a career as an artist, educator, curator, collector, and art historian. Hello, I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick, and my guest today on the journey is a son of Howard who has helped define the cultural legacy of our nation, distinguished university professor of art, Dr. David Driscoll. Welcome.
Thank you, sir.
So you were born in Georgia.
Yes, I was born in Eatonton, Georgia, which is a small, sleepy southern town about 40, 50 miles from Macon, Georgia. And I was born there in 1931, and I didn't have the chance of having an education there. My father was a Methodist minister there at the time and pastored a church called Hunts Chapel AME Church. And we lived there until I was 5 years old. So at the age of six, we were already moved into what I refer to as Appalachia in the mountains of North Carolina. And so I actually grew up there, and it was there that my formal education began.
Now, you made your way to Howard University in 1949. Now, at Howard, you were here at a time when you met some iconic figures, people mm-hmm. who've shaped the landscape in many fields. Tell yes. me about a couple of those in particular. I'm going to ask you about a couple of them because it's rare that I have the opportunity to speak to one who's touched some of our legends.
Yes,
so let me start first with Langston Hughes.
Langston Hughes, he was not at Howard when I came, but he was like a constant visitor. He would come back and forth. He had a friend who lived down on 13th Street, 13th and T, who was a poet from the Harlem Renaissance by the name of Georgia Douglas Johnson. And when he would come to Howard, he would go to visit Owen Dodson and a few of the other professors that he knew. And it turns out that I was by that time a senior, and I had been a student of some of the leading professors at that time, like James A. Porter, mm-hmm. who was my mentor, James V. Herron, who had founded the art department at Howard University in 1921. He was still here. Mm-hmm. And, of course, people like Allen Locke, who was still lecturing on Thursday in Rankin Chapel. Frank Snowden was my professor in Greek and Roman classics, and people like that. So they were still here at Howard at the time, much to my enjoyment, in the sense that these were major figures in the field.
Hmm. Now, tell me about James Porter.
The art department in those days, in the early 1950s, was on the third floor of Thurkill Hall. Mm-hmm. And so I was going to be a history major, had enrolled in history, because I was interested in John Hope Franklin and people like that. And so I went over to the art department to take my first course. And it was a course in drawing, not from Porter, but from James Wells, who was also one of the eminent professors. And so I was there drawing away, and this gentleman came and stood over me looking at my drawing. He said, "What is your name? I don't know you." And I said, "David Driscoll." He said, "What is your major?" And I said, "History." He said, "Well, you don't belong in history. You belong here." So I went and changed my major. And that began my association with Professor Porter. He became my mentor. He directed me in my studies for the rest of my time, which was an additional 4 years changing over. And he was the one who said to me, "Yes, you're a good artist and all of that, but you can't just be an artist. You need to help define the field." And so I took art history, and I'm happy that I did.
You're listening to The Journey. My guest today is Dr. David Driscoll. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Now, your own art is iconic. in many ways. What has been the most influential aspects of that expression of yourself in your art?
I would say the most influential aspect of it has been my understanding of color, my understanding of the importance of what I refer to as an ancestral form based in African iconography, and all of that came from my studies at Howard. Color from the perspective of Lois Malu Jones, who was one of the great professors and who taught here for some 40 or so years. She was, I took several courses from her, and she on numerous occasions would say, David Driscoll is my pet. She meant that she really was grooming me and respected me. But also from the point of view of the emphasis that I place on an African perspective in my art. And that credit I would give to James Porter, to some of the other professors that I studied with, but more specifically because Porter was such an important professor in that he not only was a major painter, but he was a scholar, a historian, spoke four or five languages, and I really wanted to be like him. And at Howard University in those days, this is the 1950s, so many of the professors used their own textbooks and that they had written, and he had written Modern Negro Art in 1943. And I all but committed that book to memory because he, you know, was so eminent in his field, and that's one of the things that just pushed me out there in the study of African-American art history.
As I hear you talk about your experience, you also talk about the Frank Snowdens and the other giants, Elaine Locke, who influence your art through the education of the greater African experience. And what was that like, and how does that still influence you today?
Yes. Beginning with Elaine Locke, he promoted this theory that we must first and foremost look at the ancestral arts of Africa for inspiration in our work. And that meant that whatever we did, regardless of how modern we became, he was interested in our looking back to the arts of Africa as an influence in our work. And of course, Frank Snowden, who had done this massive research in the ancient arts of Africa, Egypt, and the areas that were not commonly known in those days, the Greek and Roman associations, and how much the Greeks and the Romans learned from the African continent, from Egypt. And I always emphasize with my students, you know, when they talk about Egypt, I said, you know, we have to be very careful, because if you read most textbooks, they will pretend that Egypt is on another continent. Mm-hmm. But Egypt is Africa, and it is one of the great, as you know, civilizing places of the world. And so much of the art that the Europeans learn, I learned from Frank Snowden and people like that, came out of the great Egyptian tradition.
Now, in 1998, the University of Maryland founded the David C. Driscoll Center for the Study of the Visual Arts and Culture of African Americans and the African Diaspora to pay homage to your career. Mm-hmm. I have had the opportunity with my wife to visit the center, yes. And it's a fascinating place.
Well, in addition to being an educational arm there at the university in the Department of Art and related areas, we feel that it's our responsibility at the Driscoll Center to have outreach in the community to provide some of those programs that may not be available at other institutions. For example, we have studies that relate to the curatorial work that we need to have more African-American students, scholars, etc., involved in the curatorial work in our museums.
For today's collector, what would be your advice in terms of where one should start and how one should start collecting art of this nature?
Well, in the words of Booker T. Washington, I'd say let down your buckets where you are. That right. means, first and foremost, understand what your budget is, your consideration. Don't try and go and buy a Picasso when you can buy a local African-American artist for or 1,000 times less. You know, look around in your community and see who is producing quality work. Begin there.
You spoke about a faculty member who referred to you as her pet, and mm-hmm. she certainly is one of our most treasured faculty members. Tell me a little bit about your experience with Professor Jones.
Professor Lois Malou Jones, Pierre Noel, she was an iconic figure in the art world, period. We looked upon her as the standard for what we wanted to accomplish. She'd go to Paris every summer. She would take students with her. Unfortunately, I was too poor to take the trip. But she was the kind of person who was always looking to encourage you and to bring you up to her level. But she was a person of high standards. You couldn't come into her class and do poor work, because she would expose you and say, you shouldn't be doing this kind of work in my class. And she would take you to the museum downtown, to the Phillips, to the National Gallery of Art, and she'd show you what she considered to be major works of art. And then she was creating wonderful works. And we all were so happy when she published her own book in those days in 1952 called Pinchers, where she showed us the lineage of her work over the years.
When you look at the landscape of what has occurred here at Howard University in terms of that art world and the influence, if you had to pick or mention maybe 3 to 5 artists in particular whose work, as far as you see, have either changed or influenced the landscape more mm-hmm. so than others, what are some of those? Who are some of those artists?
Well, certainly, I would begin with an artist like Lois Jones, because she not only taught here, but she studied here. Mm-hmm. Lois Jones, Elizabeth Catlett, of course, James Porter, who, as I mentioned, was not only an artist, but a scholar. And, of course, some of the artists who have gone on to help define the field. And Howard University, let me say, has played a significant role, perhaps more than any other institution in the United States, perhaps even in the world, in helping to define the importance of African-American art, which I like to reemphasize is a very important part of American art, not just isolated by itself. But in particular, Elizabeth Catlett, who is known all over the world.
Right. What about Elizabeth Catlett's work you enjoyed the most? What aspects of her work?
I enjoyed mostly the notion that she, first and foremost, was a classically trained artist. And she was an artist who looked at the plight of people, looked at African Americans, looked at Mexicans, looked at women, and she decided that her responsibility was to lift up those artists and to show the importance of their role in world culture. And she spent a great deal of her time, as you know, living in Mexico, in Cuernavaca, but she would come back and forth to the United States. She did not get her due in her lifetime, but I suspect that she will go down eventually when the real true history of American art is written as one of the great artists of our era. Howard University, I would say, is the one place where African Americans have had this historical tradition of producing, of making the very best. And we look to Howard as that place that can still bring about that kind of deliverance. So I would say that this whole concept of being classically trained is still very important in the academic pursuit in the arts. And certainly Howard has played a significant role there, and I think must continue to play that role.
Thanks for being here. My guest today has been Dr. David Driscoll. I have not had the opportunity of meeting the icons of yesterday, but certainly you, Dr. David Driscoll, you are certainly the James Porter of my era. So it is a pleasure to have had you here. I'm Dr. Wayne Frederick. Please join me next time on The Journey.
You've been listening to The Journey with Dr. Wayne A.I. Frederick, right here on the Howard University Radio Network.